What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning into the Local Crown Podcast, where we're going to teach you how to wage war on your competition and earn your local crown, also known as the top spot on Google.
What is up, Local Crown entrepreneurs? I am here with our amazingly interesting guest, Robert Yoho, and we are super pumped for this episode. We're going to learn a lot about what he does and how he's created his life so far. So why don't you get into your history, how you got started, what you've been doing, and what you're doing today?
Thank you, Antonia. I have to do this disclaimer because all those lawyers out there. So I always say this is not specific medical advice for individuals. And if you have a problem, you have to see a licensed provider and use this information as a general guide or maybe even entertainment purposes. So I'm sorry about that. I don't really believe that's what it is, but I've got to make that disclaimer. Wait. So I'm 68 years old, nearly three times as old as you are, right? How old are you? I won't ask you how old you are, but I had a long career. I was first trained as an emergency physician. I board certified in emergency medicine, and eventually, around 35 years ago, got into cosmetic surgery, and I had a pretty good career as a cosmetic surgeon. You can still see my website, DrYoho.com, and it's got 2,000 pages of photographs and all that stuff. Of course, it's formally closed, but I did that, and then I most recently, after I retired, I got interested in healthcare corruption. And my door into that room was through bioidentical hormones. And let me tell you how that works. It sounds strange. I had a lot of women in my practice, and cosmetic surgery is like 95% women. And they were all in horrible menopause, or almost all of them by the time I quit at 68 or 65. And I learned how to prescribe bioidentical hormones so I could help their health and make them feel better. And I felt that this was more important for them than the cosmetic surgery. And of course, I never try to tell a woman what to do. I always just suggested what they might do. And if they were interested, then we proceeded. And I was able to help them with their hormones. And I didn't even charge them for it. I could implant a hormone pellet and make them feel better for 3 months for $15 hard costs. And I discussed this and I felt like I was doing more important work. But what I discovered as I got further into hormone therapy was that the Food and Drug Administration was conspiring with the drug companies to try to take out the bioidentical hormones because they cannot be patented. Bioidentical means it's a human body component. Doesn't mean it's made from a plant. It means it's the same thing as in the human body. So, we've got 120 years of experience with thyroid. We have 60, 70, 80 years of experience with testosterone and estrogen, and a lot of experience, I mean, decades and decades of experience with progesterone and progesterone synthetics, and even growth hormone. We have about 50 years more clinical experience with these drugs than any other drugs in our formulary, almost. And they are tremendously useful and tremendously beneficial. We have thousands of observational studies testifying to how good they are. But they were being run down by a Food and Drug Administration conspiring with pharma with these black box warnings. And you know what a black box warning is because you're a respiratory therapist. It's a very serious aftermarket warning that's placed on a drug label that claims that it's very dangerous to use. And they were a pack of lies. I mean, they were based on, first of all, some of them were based on drugs that we're no longer using or should no longer use, like horse urine estrogen, right? Premarin, or synthetic progesterone, which is a worse actor than the other ones, but these are still useful medications. So I looked at that and I eventually wrote Hormone Secrets, which is my book about bioidentical hormone therapy. And then I got step-by-step into medical corruption. And I learned about the insurance industry. I learned about the different medical specialties that were corrupt. I sort of tried to put it together. I couldn't figure out how it all fit together because, after all, my entire career, I was part of the matrix. You know, I'm Rip Van Winkle. I woke up late in my career and realized I'd been asleep in this bywater of medicine for decades. In other words, I was in cosmetic surgery. I hadn't watched all the transformations going on around me because I was focused on trying to keep women happy. And that as you might know, is not an easy task in a lot of cases.
So, yeah, it seems like a close run.
We're trying to make them happy. And I woke up and started reading, and it took me 3 years to figure it out and write this book. And it's a little textbook for how you can approach medicine these days and what you can do. You have to understand that there is a matrix before you you can do anything about it. And if you read by Butchered by Healthcare, I mean, these books are $3 or $4 on Kindle. They're cheap. I don't make a dime on this effort. It's a passion project. And while I didn't get rich at 68, I can, I can afford not to work and work on these projects. Mm-hmm. And more lately, I got interested in the current scene. But I guess we can talk a bit about the healthcare corruption first, or do you want to talk about the hormones?
Let's actually start with the hormones and go into kind of like, I think that'll be a good flow for, let's discuss the hormone side of it, then go into how you kind of move that into what you're doing now.
So the hormone thing, the current standards in these black box warnings are based on, basically, I felt ethically obliged to help my patients with their hormones. Once I understood what was going on and trained, instead of operating on a string of depressed and anxious patients like the general plastic surgeon usually does, and pretending like the surgery is going to help that, I felt ethically obliged to investigate their hormonal status. And I can tell you, your age group doesn't have a problem, but everyone over 50, virtually everyone over 50 can benefit from hormone supplementation. And I believe it makes them live longer. So I offered appropriate candidates all this stuff. I got certified in hormone care. And I never tried to convince anyone. Now, you're probably aware of this, but there's a rule in healthcare that of the drugs prescribed, a third of them go in the trash. The patient goes home and looks at it and may take a dose or two and throws it away. Yeah. And this is true even for cancer chemotherapy or suppression of kidney rejection drugs. Can you imagine? They throw them away and then the kidney gets rejected and then nobody knows what happened. There's a trick in hormone care, which I use to make sure that people had a good enough trial of therapy so they understand the benefits. And that is, with their permission and after informed consent, I gave them a testosterone pellet inside their belly button through a place that couldn't even show a scar. So they couldn't complain about the scars. Yeah. You know, a lot of guys stick them in through their backside and women are always looking in the mirror trying to see where they have a scar back there. But through the belly button, you put in the local anesthetic and then you have a trocar, an open large needle, and you stick the little pellets in through that. And testosterone is important female hormone as well as a man's. And it gets broken down to estrogen and DHT. So you get a good dose of estrogen with that. And it's used as a sole therapy for menopause by many hormone doctors. And so I would give them a free testosterone pellet if they were interested and consented. And they would, many of them just were doing backflips in a week. And it wasn't because of their new boobs. It was because they felt fantastic. So I learned about this, had a lot of experience, mainly with women. And I just couldn't believe all the lies and the quote misinformation out there. So, so after that, I wrote this book, and the most remarkable thing that I learned was this thing about these black boxes and how what a pack of lies they are. Testosterone, for example, in men has been run down as causing blood clots and heart disease. And what they did, the people who did the study, which they used to make this black box warning, is they looked through the wrong end of the telescope. And what that means is they found people who already were on testosterone and tried to find ones who had heart disease. That's not the way you do a study. You take a whole big bunch of people and put half of them on the testosterone, half off, and see if there's a difference. So they took these adulterated studies and they used them to fabricate a black box warning. And there you have it. All the doctors listen to the FDA. They listen to this crazy narrative, and they're afraid to prescribe testosterone, which is tremendously beneficial. Now, so I went on and I studied, the other hormones, including growth hormones. I studied the athletic stuff, and thyroid is a fascinating area because it can be used in about a third of the women over 40, and it produces a big improvement. And if you use porcine or pork thyroid, you get the vital component that makes them feel better. And the endocrinologists, who are theoretically the experts about this, they are used to dealing with a disease called Graves' disease, and that makes them very paranoid about thyroid. And it's not justified for supplemental thyroid. If you take too much supplemental thyroid and it's too much, you know right away, and the patient just stops it. If you have Graves' disease, you have a thyroid that's pumping out thyroid hormone, and the people get complications. They get osteoporosis and other problems. And so, I wrote about that. I wrote about how the other political things that are happening. I wrote about these hormone blockers, which are horrible for your health. I mean, they use testosterone blockers for prostate cancer, and there are other more effective therapies, including estrogen. One of the big experts, the cancer experts, whose name is Otis Brawley, who wrote a book sort of debunking the American Cancer Society and all the cancer, he said that more people die from the Lupron, which is a testosterone blocker, and if we'd stop that, we'd have a few people die of prostate cancer, but we'd have more people survive overall. So wow. that's a quick introduction. And we have excellent treatment for breast cancer in testosterone, but of course, it's not patented. Nobody makes money on it. So we're doing all these blockers. You know, we do the estrogen blockers, which are hazardous to your health. Estrogen is the most valuable hormone. It protects the heart in both men and women. Men should have relatively high levels of at least 50 if they're supplemented or if they're younger. So that's in a nutshell, that's a quick bloviate about my hormone secrets book. And on the cover of this book, can you see that thing? That's a big mask that I found in a Houston restaurant. And here's me standing beside the mask.
Awesome.
Can you see that? And so I took a photograph, and then I had an artist put the names of the hormones on. And so this is your brain on hormones and my brain on hormones too. It's a woman, but you know, the stereotype is that women are hormonal. Of course, men are hormonal too.
Yeah.
So that's the story about that.
That's incredible. Yeah. So with these hormones, like, that's kind of the whole, I guess, would you say hormones and everything are the main root cause of pretty much like all the diseases and everything we have today? Like,
that's a pretty big generalization. I would say that it's a more important class of drugs than any other class of drugs we have. I mean, for example, the cancer therapy drugs, just as a group, just don't freaking work. We've got five or six or seven cancers we can treat. Lymphomas, testicular cancer, a few others, but the rest of the cancer drugs, for over $100,000 a piece a year, they improve survival, which is the only thing you really care about, by less than 2 months. I mean, it's well acknowledged, it's well acknowledged by the. So this is a super important class of drugs that everyone should be. The primary care should be prescribing hormone therapy, and they're not, not very often, and because of all these black box warnings and all this nonsense promulgated by the medical industry and the doctors who are paid off by big pharma.
So, one more question with the hormone industry and like therapies and stuff. Is it just like as we age, our hormones go out, or are there certain things that are causing our hormones to
Good
be
question.
So off?
Okay. So who knows? We're sicker now than we were 50 years ago. And RFK Jr. thinks it's Anthony Fauci. This is his book. This is the international bestseller. Have you heard of this? This guy is probably the biggest seller in the world for the last 4 months, international bestseller. It's not acknowledged to be that because it's not accepted by the, I'm amazed Amazon printed it. But this tells the story about the current pandemic and all that stuff. And he thinks that Fauci is almost individually to blame because he got us on the path of taking all these drugs and off of the path of other therapies that would be, non toxic and probably would have been very helpful. But there are obviously a lot of trends. There's the obesity trend. The FDA has also kind of managed to ruin our diet. We have demonized animal fats, and which is probably exactly opposite of what's true. And so there are a lot of trends. So nobody knows for sure why we're not as healthy, but we're not as healthy.
Yeah. And that's funny because I mean, I feel like this country, a lot of countries have a chronic problem of being like, this is working when we have chronic proof, like classic proof, it's not. But like somehow we're kind of proving it is in like little, like mini doses that people just accept.
The industry runs the narrative. The industry runs the censors. I mean, it's a wild thing. The worst trend today, in my opinion, is this that the tech companies have gotten on board for censoring their platforms. And Google censors their platform. They censor the searches. They probably can swing elections by 15 points by just changing the search results. And then, of course, we've got YouTube, you know, which I mean, used to be it's still my favorite thing to watch. But they will take things off of the if it's a narrative that they don't want to hear. And there seems to be central themes. I don't know if you've seen these shows that show the news groups from all over the world saying almost exactly the same words mm-hmm. when there's a story that comes out, like you know, and the words that are used now are conspiracy theory, debunked, quackery, anti-vaccine. And the worst of all, of course, is fact check. Because mm-hmm. when you hear any of these things, you can almost bet that the truth is exactly the opposite. Now, the World Health Organization changed the definition of vaccine when we found out that these things were not did not produce any immunity. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. At least they're honest about that. It's like a reality alteration zone induced by censorship. And this, I mean, I hope it ends well. And I feel like our feet are in the alligator's mouth with all this stuff. Our Constitution is being destroyed piece by piece. And we don't have the proper legal remedies available to us if we get arrested. And I mean, it's just a wild freaking scene. And oh, yeah. I mean, fortunately, you and I still have our freedom of speech, right? We're talking mm-hmm. on our podcast platform here.
Yeah, it's kind of getting
scary.
Scary, yeah, scary for sure. And like, you know, it's hard because you want to believe these people have good intentions and things, but like they don't know any. I mean, you don't know what to believe anymore in a sense because it's just so messy in a way that it's just like God, like. And then I think a big part of, you know, people my age, like younger generation, is it does get so blurry that they're just like, they latch onto whatever they emotionally attach to and take that for fact. And nobody questions things anymore. They don't ask, is this true? Is this real? What is the science? What is the study? We don't ask those things because there's just such a multitude of things coming at us that we just pick one and go.
Well, you may not even be aware of it, but 10 years ago, you could do a Google search and you get unbiased information. And you can get a reasonable search out of Brave browser where you won't have your results filtered. But for the last 10 years, the internet has been essentially destroyed by a wave of censorship and manipulation. And at first, it was done for the money, right? So that Google's trying to shepherd you into purchases, and the same thing with Amazon. And I mean, but now it seems to be political. And I mean, it's just a crazy deal. I don't know whether you are familiar with Joe Rogan's podcast. So he did a podcast with a guy named Epstein, and which I commend to anyone here. And these things are long podcasts; they're a couple hours or even longer. And so I recommend listening to them at double speed, or I can listen pretty well at double speed. My wife thinks it's crazy; she hates it. You know, it agitates her. But you can certainly do 1.5 times speed. But he describes how Google is. You know, they are manipulating things. And he says that when you watch them, they stop doing it in whatever state you're watching them in. So he has some hope that we can control their behavior.
And, you know, yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, if we can't, we're going to live in a Googleocracy instead of a US of A.
Yeah. So what do you speak to on like these hormones and things like making women feel better and like just getting better in general, and why there aren't more people as like you just like talking to these things? I know it's censored and all that, but do you think it's really is it really just people aren't questioning, like in your field aren't questioning it, or what do you think like the real general core problem is?
It's censored. It's the media is manipulated by big pharma. And I studied all this stuff, and this book Butchered was published right in May, I think, of 2020. So it was sort of at the beginning of things, and it doesn't have much about the current events, but you guys all listened to that ivermectin story when they claimed it was horse medication and all this stuff. And it blue-pilled so many idiots, you know. And I mean, when you hear something 150 times, but this is not new strategy. I mean, I watched this with thyroid medication when all these stories came out about how bad the porcine or pork thyroid was, when it's actually much better. It's much better quality control than the T4, which is, you know, the Synthroid, you know, that's the brand. And so current strategies are not new. But they are just writ large with astonishing chutzpah. I'm not Jewish, but that's a Jewish word that means boldness and bravery, you know, and, you know, brash kind of boldness, with astonishing chutzpah on the world stage. And basically, they don't care how many people they killed. In the United States, what we supposedly have 800,000 people who died of COVID. Now, probably 3/4 of them died with COVID and not due to COVID, or they had comorbidities that would have killed them within 2 weeks anyway, but we don't know. Anyway, I lost my thread here. Set me back on the thread here, Antonio. That's what you have to deal with when you talk to a 68-year-old guy.
That's okay. Just the why more people aren't speaking to it, and like what, like why it's such a problem. People aren't questioning this.
So we have censors now and liars who are advancing agendas. They're more powerful than ever before in world history. I mean, you know, Stalin, the Stalinists, Hitler people, they all were censors, and they were good at it. And the what they said, both of them had a quote similar to this, was a lie repeated often enough becomes the truth, right? And so what's going on now is an astonishing perversion of reality. And I've got a very dystopian story for you. Do you know what the Wayback Machine is? The Wayback Machine is very important. You have to look this up as soon as we get off the podcast. The Wayback Machine is an internet archive. It's the Wayback Internet Archive. That's the thing you can search for. And that thing records almost everything that happens on the internet. Now, just think of that. Think of the storage that they need in real time, day to day, week to week, minute to minute. So you can look up a story that some jackass has removed from his website because it reflects poorly on them or doesn't reflect on the current narrative. You can look up that stuff as of now. I have references in Butchered that I thought would disappear, and they did indeed disappear later, but I got their URL from the Wayback Machine, which will generate a new URL of the stored article, right? And so the dystopian story is there are now fears that the Wayback Machine will vanish. In other words, this, you know, I mean, what do the censors have a hold of now? TikTok. They have a hold of Facebook. They have a hold of Google. They seem to have a hold of Apple, although they are, you know, they have Amazon does things that are not right. But if they get a hold of the Wayback Machine, we're in trouble, because then we're in a full-on 1984 scenario where, you know, and that's something your generation should all read this book, because it's shockingly similar to what's going on now. They postulate a dystopian future where basically all the reality and the history is altered daily, you know, by the powers that be. So, I mean, I never thought I'd see anything like this. And I'm motivated to work on this project, not because I'm a hero, but because our feet are in the alligator's mouth. If you don't struggle, you're going to be eaten soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's extremely, like, just the thoughts, like, it comes with, you know, and people are like, oh, you're a whistleblower, a conspiracy theory. But I think like at this point, it's not a theory, it's a conspiracy at this point, correct?
It's a huge cabal of international, I mean, remember, okay, I'll repeat again. If you hear conspiracy theory, debunked, quackery, anti-vaccine, or fact check, those are all words that are used to spread ridicule about something that's probably true. So any of those things should immediately perk your interest if you hear any of those. But I will describe the big picture briefly, but I think for your audience, we're better off just sticking with the medical stuff, because your entry into this room, you have to understand that the medical stuff is completely transparently ridiculous. You know, it's so ridiculous. There's no real scientists on the other side. There are people that are trying to keep their careers going, and there are hacks like Fauci who are basically career criminals. Okay, so the international scene is the following. Okay, there are three or four companies that basically all the assets have amalgamated into their hands. And these include Vanguard, which everybody's heard of, Berkshire Hathaway, which is Warren Buffett's group, and what's the third one? Vanguard.
Vanguard.
Vanguard Berkshire Investments. Hathaway. Vanguard, Berkshire Hathaway, and BlackRock. BlackRock's the biggest of the three. And I think they have $7 trillion in asset management. But the one layer down from these people in the global organization are these corporations, such as, you know, Google with a 2.5 trillion market cap or whatever it is. I mean, that was last time I looked it up. It's probably much bigger than that. It might be 3 trillion by now. Who knows? Things like Facebook, which are much smaller, Apple, Amazon. And the members of the boards of these people are in common. In other words, the people go to the board, they're board members across these platforms of these huge organizations. So they tend to think alike. And the other group in the room that is clearly in the room of this these people who want this quote or great reset or change are international bankers. And that's a whole nother story that your listeners have got to study to understand how inflation is essentially a Tower of Babel. And you're religious, so you know what that reference means. You can't speak the language, you know, the language has all changed. So inflation is an economic Tower of Babel where you can't communicate any longer. And this small inflation that we've had the last year is just the beginning of a big, big problem. And if it goes the way we've seen inflations go in the past, it's going to be an economic disaster. Mm-hmm. So we hope we don't have to live through Weimar Republic style World War II, post-World War I Germany inflation.
Yeah. No, that's like extremely,
it's concerning.
It is concerning.
It's freaking a nightmare.
Back to the medical side of things. So with this big pharma, like suppressing drugs, black boxing drugs, how do you kind of like find that out? You know, I mean,
how do you tell truth from fact?
Yeah. And I mean, people trust these agencies because they say they're supposed to be, you know, helping us.
Okay.
What are you distinct between that?
So all the three letter agencies, the CDC, the World Health Organization, which is, I mean, it seems to be owned by the Chinese, and the worst of all, the FDA. And I know the most about the FDA. So there's a principle that all your listeners probably understand already, is that he who pays the piper calls the tune. Mm-hmm. Okay. In other words, if you've got the money and you're paying for whatever happens, you can tell the whoever you're paying what to do. Yeah. And the FDA is supposedly, at one time, it was a highly respected organization that helped regulate our drugs. It was started with idealism and a reasonable, in response to some disasters, including thalidomide, which you may have heard of, which caused flippers on women who took the drug during their, you know, on their babies or their fetuses. But anyway, the FDA has been entirely bought off by Big Pharma. And the evidence of this is that about half of their revenue, their $5 billion revenue, is paid directly by the pharmaceutical companies during the patent approval process. Mm. Just wrap your head around that for a second. Yeah. And so they are calling the tune for the FDA. And now the FDA, I mean, they are insane. I mean, they are now attempting to get approval for this injurious drug, right? For under 5 years of age, when the actual disease, the COVID, causes no problems at all in that disease, in that age group. I mean, since what kind of society sacrifices its children on the altar of trying to make their parents healthier? That's the rationalization. But even that doesn't make any sense, because this disease is what we call in California a nothing burger. Have you ever heard of that? COVID is a nothing burger if you have the proper drugs in hand, and you can take those at an early stage of the disease. Nobody gets admitted to the ICU. Nobody dies from the disease. And I'm exaggerating for emphasis, but it essentially, it cuts down the mortality or the death rate and the hospitalization rate by at least 85%. And this whole entire scare was fabricated because we knew all about those therapies from the start. And had we used those there, we knew about them from early in 2020. And we knew that these drugs, such as hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, had avid antiviral activity for a decade at least. And yeah, they're absolutely genius drugs with hardly any side effects, no problems. I mean, one of the two, and I forget which one, is approved during pregnancy, which is an unusual event prior to this this outrage with this vaccine, where they're letting women get injected with this thing and losing up to 75% of their fetuses. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. I have a friend whose daughter lost her fetus after getting injected with the vaccine, and he begged her not to do it, but her mother-in-law told her to do it. She couldn't come in, you know, because she's inside of the matrix and believes all this nonsense is getting passed around. Mm-hmm. Nobody serious in the scientific community has any thought that this narrative has any merit. Basically, these people are hacks. You know, there's a guy named Vinay Prasad, who he's an Indian guy. I mean, I respected him formerly. He did an expose about medical corruption that was, I thought it was a little soft pedal, but then he's into this thing, you know, debating about whether the vaccine works and all this other stuff. And then there's another, who's the Indian Gupta? That guy's a total whore. That guy's promoting the vaccine, and he is running down the therapies that work. I mean, it's crazy. And mm-hmm. You've had a personal experience, haven't you? With ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine.
Yes, hydroxychloroquine. Yeah. It killed it for me completely. I mean, I was on hitting the point where I had it for a week. I was on 3 liters of oxygen, which I mean, I in like a hospital sense, I know isn't crazy, but being 23 and on oxygen,
it's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. I got on hydroxychloroquine. I think the only side effect I had was, I know that mixing it with an antibiotic can cause like heart rate issues. My heart rate went to like, I think like 48 or 50, but I had an allergic reaction to the Z-Pak, which that's what caused that. So I was allergic to whatever antibiotic I got. I had a horrible reaction to that, but it was nothing from the hydroxychloroquine.
What was your set?
Before
you got on the oxygen,
I think I dropped to the lowest of like 85.
That's freaking horrible. 23. That's horrible. That's just, yeah, you had a rough time.
Yeah, well, I did. Oh, it kicked me good. It really punted me. But I was working night shift full time. I was in school full time. I was also working at a gym, and I was also trying to do a bodybuilding competition. I was running myself to the ultimate lows, and I think it just took me out.
You're my kind of girl. You're hustling. Life's just one big hustle, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I'm trying. I think I learned a little bit to maybe not hustle to death.
Take it easy.
But yeah. But I was doing a ton. I swear it's hard to go to work and see people, you know, not taking hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and things. And, you know, I've been hearing great things about both of them.
So the hospitals are incentivized to treat COVID, to diagnose COVID, to give remdesivir and to put them on ventilators. And they also get a bonus when the patient dies. I mean, this is just crazy. They make about $100,000 per patient on COVID if you go through the whole thing. And the remdesivir is a failed drug for Ebola. You're probably aware of this. It's a failed drug for Ebola, and it kills 25 to 50% of the people you put it on. So it was approved actually because it doesn't work. Now, why would a drug be approved because it doesn't work?
Yeah.
Because the emergency use authorization would be gone if they approved a drug that worked. Mm-hmm. You get it? I mean, it's very sick. It's sickening. So anyway, the hospitals get a bonus for diagnosing. That's the reason why they do all those tests in the ER. It doesn't make any sense to do a test on people who are asymptomatic. There's no reason to do a COVID test on anyone unless they have symptoms and are contemplating treatment. Yeah. I mean, that's, and you treat them anyway. You treat them before you get the test back if it's not a rapid test. So the hospitals get a bonus, and they get bonus for the ones they put on the ventilator. I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, why would you influence a clinical decision about that? And then they get bonus for the people who die. So the whole thing is just an attempt to stir panic about a situation which was a nothing burger.
Yeah.
Now, you know what a nothing burger is now.
Yeah, now I
okay,
do, yeah.
Okay, good. You can use that Californianism from now on.
Yeah, I got a little bit in me now. That's crazy to think about. And it is like having a personal experience with it, you know, it is like hard to, you know, like people are so, I feel like that's another thing is we can't even find people to just listen and be in a middle ground. It's either, you know, like you're just completely, I mean, I've heard, I'm, you know, I've used the hydroxychloroquine. I didn't go through the typical hospital route, all that, you know, I've gotten just as much hit back on you're completely wrong. You're insane. You're a conspiracy theorist towards, you know, the total opposite where it's, you know, like screw all healthcare. And you know what I mean?
Well, healthy care, as you know, does miracles every day, and we mustn't let our audience think that we're running down all of healthcare, but fully 50% of it in the United States, it costs in the United States, it costs double per person what it costs in any other country, right? Double Canada, double Australia, double France, double England. And here it's $4 trillion a year. It's the same size as the federal government. And that makes it possible for them to buy off the Congress and the executive branch and tell them to do whatever they want, because we have showered money on them and they use a portion of it to bribe us with. And it's called lobbying dollars, which, I mean, it's crazy that it's allowed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So what would you say is like the way to fix? I mean, I don't think anybody has the right way to fix this, but like, what would, besides speaking out to it, like, what do we do? Like, how do we go like somewhere with this?
We have to stand up. Not because we're courageous, but we realize that the other alternatives get eaten immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your feet are in the alligator's mouth. So I can describe a few more other problems, but what do we do about it? Now, there are ways that we can individually approach healthcare that are useful. For example, since Trump made that executive order in 2021, we're allowed to visit virtually anyone agrees to see us. And for a few hundred or a few thousand dollars, we get a second opinion. People in your age group hardly have any problems at all. So you just try to stay away from doctors unless you feel crappy. If you feel terrible, you better go see somebody and see.
Yeah.
As far as the hormones go in your age group, progesterone, it works really well for PMS stuff in the second half of your cycle. You can take it from 3 days to 2 weeks, depending on how. We see occasional cases of this PCOS where they have high testosterones and they're overweight, they have acne and are infertile. And that can be treated right through to getting pregnant and good fertility with progesterone and thyroid usually. You know, those are the two things that need to be supplemented and that you have to get enough of it. But unless you're older, the hormones don't, you know, they're not really indicated, you know, and you could actually damage your fertility if you're a male and you take too much of the steroids or testosterone in a younger age group.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I got off the track. Where are we?
It's okay. No, just what to do, where to go next. Yeah.
Okay. Like, so as individuals, we have another tool. And that other tool is the patient advocacy groups. And those are usually funded by the drug companies, but they're very helpful. They're very idealistic people in the groups. And we can join one if we have a weirdo cancer or a bizarre disease process. You can get the best advice in the world. And then you can go see the best doctors in the world virtually and pay them in cash. Yeah. And they'll see you. So those are two great tools. Now, as far as, I mean, I laugh, but it's a black kind of a humor, if you understand. I'm laughing like we're in a firefight, which we sort of are. And we have to kind of break up the tension a little bit to function. But as far as what we can do internationally, I have, and nationally, I have suggestions in Butchered by Healthcare. One suggestion, and this will seem heretical, is to get rid of the patents for drugs. And this would just cool the whole thing down and make everybody compete in a reasonable fashion and take away the money from the pharmaceutical companies. But that's never going to happen, not with our current political, you know, and all the ability these entities have to bribe Congress and influence every part of the process. Another thing that would help is taking the medications off prescription and allow drugstores to sell them over the counter. And that's heretical also, but it's been done successfully in many other countries. And it just takes the heat off of, you don't have to listen to some bought off doctors say to take the toxic drug. And if it makes you feel terrible, you're going to use your common sense and throw it in the wastebasket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, and I heard that's a big thing right now with doctors is they're in the healthcare field, I guess, are getting very irritated with people telling them they don't want to do something. And I just don't understand that mentality. So how do we as people, like, for example, I knew to go to my primary doctor, clinician guy, instead of going to the hospital, but I'm kind of in the medical field. I kind of get that. How do we pull ourselves? Like, you don't want to support a company. I don't want to support this, but I still need healthcare. You know, how do I pull myself out of that?
It almost takes physician level expertise to navigate a difficult problem in healthcare now. I mean, it's crazy. You have to do all the research you can. Butchered is a great start. It's got Butchered. 500 or 1,000 references, and it'll give you an idea what's going on, and that's a great place to start. You can't depend on internet searches anymore. Even there is a organization which you probably familiar with named Cochrane Research, which is in Europe, and they do these meta analyses of all the data. But they in the last 2 or 3 years, it's looking like they're partially bought by these industrial sources. So they're not as reliable as they once were. And so, it's just trust few and do a lot of research and don't ever be rude to a doctor. I mean, mm-hmm. they deserve your respect because of all their training. And most of us are idealistic and we're trying hard, and we did write that essay in medical school about how I could save the world, but we've been so beaten by the finances that our behavior is not reliable anymore. I mean, I'm going to tell you how a salesperson influences the doctors, right? So we got all these drug reps, you've read about that. They go in the offices, there's probably three doctors for every one salesperson in the whole country. I mean, they traipse around and pass out free meals and everything else. So you may have heard of Cialdini, Robert Cialdini. He wrote this book called Influence. It's something you should write down and remember at the end of the podcast, along with the Wayback Machine. Try to read it, or at least read the Wikipedia entry. Relationships are everything. And these salespeople understand all that. And they use the three F's of sales, the three F's, right? Food, flattery, and friendship. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they use the fourth F.
Yeah.
There, you got it, right?
There you go. I gotcha.
Okay. You know, I say this on the podcast, and I sometimes they have to wait a five count to figure it out. But yeah. You, Antonio, have a dirty mind, so you got it right away. Okay. So we got to keep it a little bit light. But the doctors have a very difficult time. I mean, they essentially have to do sales on whatever they're trying to do for the patients, and they have to have the medical knowledge and the scientific knowledge to make the judgments, and they have to put up with an shitstorm of billing problems and getting paid and this and that and the other thing. And if they work for a large medical group, they have to put up with standards that are basically implemented by the drug companies, you know, mm-hmm. in cooperation with the large organizations. So, I mean, it's hard to maintain it's hard for them to maintain their integrity. And if your listeners can find people who, I don't recommend alternative doctors particularly, but I recommend people who are independent, doctors who are practicing by themselves or in small groups, who are not in a large group that's influenced by the protocols.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So if you could kind of like just Wrapping up a little, if you could tell anybody anything, give them any advice for like the rest of what they're doing in their world today, because I know it's hard to tell people all this medical stuff that they're probably not interested in general, and they have their life to live. What would you tell them?
Well, you know, I think right now the burning issue is the vaccine. And in order to learn about that, you guys have to get on Spotify and listen to those two interviews. One, Joe Rogan interviews Robert Malone, and the other one, he interviews Peter McCullough. Mm-hmm. And you can listen to those in rapid speed. If you're a reader, you should read this. Now, I have material on my website where there are summaries. The Real Anthony Fauci by RFK Jr. There are podcasts that I reference also on robertyohoauthor.com, and you can go to those podcasts and you can gradually red pill yourself about what's really going on. Sure. But you need to do your research, and you have to understand that these sources that you trusted, right? Google, Twitter, Facebook, Wikipedia, they seem to have a lock on the information. And if you only look there, you are looking inside the box. But there are still many sources that are uncensored. Substack.com is as yet uncensored. And I have a blog on Substack. It's robertyoho.substack.com. But that's not the first place I'd go. I go to my website, and then I've got, and get yourself on my newsletter list. And I've got other people who are much better writers than I am on Substack.
Interesting. Yeah. And just based off that, like, when people are so one way or the other with the vaccine, do you have like a good middle ground, or like a good, I mean, like some vaccines, some not? I mean, what is your, I guess, what do you tell people to that? And
Antonia, there is no middle ground. These things are toxic. They're harmful. They're risky. And they, you know, any benefits that are claimed are modest in comparison to the problem. So, I mean, how do you convince somebody? Yeah. I mean, you can read Caldini and you can see if you get any ideas, but it's not easy when people are inside the box and they refuse to listen. And I can tell you, I've got some very smart friends like that who still talk to me, but I'm basically done with them. My kids, I have to put up with them, and they've all been triple vaxxed. I mean, it's a sad deal. They're girls too. They're 26-year-old girls who are thinking about getting pregnant. And I think it's probably risky for your fetus for 17 months, at least, after you've had the vax, and hopefully not indefinitely. Hopefully not indefinitely. I'm crossing my fingers, because it'd be a terrible thing if they couldn't have kids.
Yeah. And why are these vaccines messing with our hormones? And we can read that in your book, or is that like, what are they doing?
Well, they sequester, or they, you know, our knowledge is still limited, right? But we do, if you want to see the best, most robust data about the hormones, it's not the VAERS data. You can read about the VAERS data, and that looks horrible. But the data from the military whistleblowers, as reported to Senator Johnson, is much more complete and much more definitive. And it's showing the chances of neurological disease increase by 20 times. It's showing the spontaneous abortions up by multiple times. It's showing cancers and all kinds of other diseases that seem to be influenced by this toxic substance that we're allowing these mobsters to inject into us. So, I mean, I think, so those are the sources that if you can look up, you might be able to find this online, and you might be able have to look on Substack to find it. But Senator Johnson whistleblowers came to him from the military who you're familiar with this, who reported the diagnostic numbers for various diseases, and it just looks horrible. And these very young people, the most healthy group we have, and they're getting cancer and all kinds of things.
So I've got one more question for you on that.
Sorry, Antonia, no more questions.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay. I was like, oh shoot. Okay. I know. I always talk so much longer.
No, go ahead.
Sorry. No, it's me. I literally get so interested. And then I've had somebody say,
go ahead.
They were like, I don't have any more time. And I was like, shoot. So, okay. One more, but on this, why? So for someone like me, where I've been vaccinated all the way up until this point, what do you speak to, like, all those other vaccines, like flu, whatever. Okay. And then now we have to be like, why are we like, it's hard to admit I was wrong. And then I'm scared. What do I do? You know,
you, Well, look, I had all the other vaccines too. But yeah, as I study the situation more and more, I realize that these things were an enormous mistake that we made 30 years ago to take the liability off of these. The plaintiff's lawyers are one of the, now I'm not in love with plaintiff's lawyers by any means, but they're one of the only positive forces that can break up these vaccine companies. They managed to kill Purdue Pharma, which was responsible for much of the opioid crisis and probably is directly responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths. Well, these people are responsible for millions of deaths. I don't know whether you've ever heard of the demonstration trials that are going on in Europe now about they're indicting Gates and all these other people who were co-conspirators in this COVID thing. And I wish they could go on to sentencing them, but it's not that kind of a thing. It's like a grand jury where they develop the, and they've got 100 lawyers involved, and they take witnesses and all that stuff. If they can only get the defendants to come in and face the music, that'd be better. But of course, that's not going to happen. But that's online. You can find that. So I missed the question.
It's okay. So what do I do about the fact that I've been vaccinated to this point? And like, okay, what does that cause?
So okay. Now, I don't know how definitive this is. I haven't looked at all this firsthand, but it looks like at least Kennedy presents good arguments that the vaccines have caused many, many problems over the last 30 or 40 years. The area, the time when we were developing the vaccination schedules that you've been given, which are, I mean, there are a lot of shots. It's like 40 shots by the time you get to be 25. Mm-hmm. And so the problem with taking away the liability is that it allows these criminals to do whatever they want. And make no mistake, they're criminal mobsters. And that's, people have called them that, not just me. Gercha has called them mobsters, and Peter Ross has called them mobsters. I'm talking about pharmaceutical companies. The curves of the decline of these various diseases that showed historically where the incidence or the chance of these diseases appearing in a population were not altered at the point that the vaccines were introduced. In other words, the curves were the same, and that data is everywhere. You can find out that. So the answer is, look, it's water under the bridge. You can't do anything about it now. You should be very careful about your own children, about giving them any vaccine. Investigate that very carefully. And don't believe this idea that somebody who name calls you anti-vax is doing anything but bloviating an industrial viewpoint that's being used to censor everyone and to propagandize everyone to continue spending money on this outrage. Mm-hmm. I mean, the flu vaccine hardly does anything at all. That we spend, I mean, I don't know what it costs. It's probably cost $100 billion worldwide in the last 10 years. And that stuff just it hardly does anything. I mean, it decreased the length of the flu by a little bit, but it's never been demonstrated to decrease pneumonias, which is a real problem. You know, that's, we're concerned about these diseases that knock you off.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so interesting. Yeah. Cause it's hard because I know, like, you don't want to go in and be like, well, I've already gotten vaccines all these years of my life. And like, I don't want to admit I'm wrong. And that scares me that like one, like all of a sudden it's wrong and I've been doing it, you know?
This is not a vaccine. This is not a vaccine.
Yeah.
This is not a vaccine. It's a clot shot.
Yeah.
It produces thrombosis. It produces strokes. They're the undertakers are seeing oddball clots in the veins of the people who they're preparing for embalmation. And there are some studies that show a 50% rate of some sort of microvascular clotting after the clot shot universally. Right. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they're symptomatic, but it's a freaking horrible thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's extremely like, I think that's where people get tripped up. They don't want to admit that it is wrong because they've been doing it. You know, you don't want to admit you're scared of something.
I'm not a universal anti-vaxxer. I'm skeptical about the earlier vaccines. And if I had little kids, I would be skeptical about what I gave them. But mm-hmm. this thing is an unalloyed harm. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely a harm. I mean, the benefits quoted from it are 2 to 4 months of decreased disease activity if you get COVID. But it has no effect on whether or not you get COVID, and it turns you into a super spreader. Mm-hmm. The chances of spreading the disease are higher.
Interesting. Yeah. Cause I know a big, so I like said this to someone once, and they were like, oh, you shed less of the virus if you're vaccinated.
Untrue. You shed more. Mm-hmm. And you're cool. Almost all your friends are cool because they've already had Omicron. Omicron is the end of the whole thing.
Gotcha.
Because it's benign, and you're not going to get another COVID infection once you've had Omicron, except you could get Omicron again.
Mm. Interesting. So why can't you get another COVID infection if you get
Omicron? It produces robust cellular immunity, which is just, it's absolutely, it's like the original vaccines. The ones that were parts of inactivated parts of the viruses, they were able to produce indefinite. And I'm not into the mechanisms. I can't tell you. You asked about the mechanisms, so I should just plead ignorance of that question.
Okay. Interesting. Well, awesome. Yeah, that was so, so interesting. I could keep going forever, but I think we'll probably end here. And yeah, guys, if you learned anything, go follow all the links. You linked a ton of things. Do you want to link out your book and everything just one more time in one good clump?
Sure. RobertYohoAuthor.com. I recommend, you can get Butchered by Healthcare on Amazon, anywhere in the world. It's also in bookstores. And Hormone Secrets, the same thing. And RobertYohoAuthor.substack.com is my Substack. And you can find your way to the other links in that for the Rogan's. There's a direct links to Rogan's two podcasts, which are so critical, and also to his Epstein podcast.
Yeah, no, for sure. We will be looking those up, and I hope you guys follow along. And thank you guys so much for tuning in today.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you learned something. If you have questions, email us at info@thelocalcrown.com. And if you want to get featured in our publication, Inside the Empire, alongside John Lee Dumas, the Entrepreneur on Fire, Jason Waller, the CEO of Power Home Solar, Sharon Lecter, Dan Caldwell, the man that started Tap Out, and the limitless man himself, Jim Quick, for free, then head over to thelocalcrown.com/become a contributor.